Today I'm sharing an overview of day two of Courage to Believe, the 21-day devotional for single moms. And day two is on anxiety and worry. And this is a deep dive done by Google Notebook LM. I think it's an interesting concept. And I also think that it gives you an overview of the topic of anxiety as it pertains to the scripture, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. So listen and let me know what you think.
There are few feelings more universally miserable than that one we all know, that specific gnawing anxiety that jolts you awake.
Usually right around 3 a.m.
Yes, exactly. And you're just staring at the ceiling and your brain is running these endless, exhausting loops about things you just cannot control.
It's such a cruel kind of sleeplessness. It's not just that you're tired. It's, you know, your mind and your emotions are in complete overdrive right when you need to rest the most.
Right.
And in our source material for today, we're not just finding like a suggestion for managing that worry. We're looking at a really powerful active instruction for, well, for getting rid of it.
And that's our mission today. We are doing a deep dive into one single but very loaded scripture, 1 Peter 5.7. It gives this powerful command, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
And that one word, cast, is everything.
It is. We need to understand the real practical difference between just passively giving your worry away versus actively casting it.
Yeah.
And why that action is, you know, the shortcut to peace.
Precisely. We're moving beyond just expressing an emotion, just saying, oh, I'm worried about this, and into what it means to take a decisive, active step to release that control completely.
If you really want peace, that distinction between giving and casting is, it's the whole game.
It's the crucial piece we need to lock down.
Okay, so let's unpack this with a story first, because our sources do a great job of anchoring this abstract idea of anxiety in a very real, very powerful reality.
Yeah, they do.
We start in Brooklyn, New York, with this specific experience of a Black single mom. She describes spending night after night just lying awake, completely paralyzed by fear.
In that description, it really grounds the whole thing. She talks about this pressure of being the sole person responsible for her teenage sons.
Especially the younger one.
The younger one who worked late shifts. And the sounds of the city, the wailing sirens. It was this constant, painful reminder that her son was out there, vulnerable, and she couldn't control it.
Oh, you can just feel the sheer drain from that story. She talks about going to sleep exhausted only to, you know, wake up wide awake at 3 a.m.
And she has to be up at 6 for work. So those 3 hours are just stolen from her. It's not just miserable. It's actively hurting her ability to function the next day.
At first, she said it was just pure frustration. You know, why can't I sleep?
And that's a key psychological progression, right? The frustration over lost sleep, that's what leads to the mind running those worry loops, calculating risks, replaying decisions.
Feeling totally overwhelmed.
Yes. That exhaustion almost, it almost pushed her past the panic and into a place where she was more open.
But here's the turning point she describes. This is what broke the cycle. While she's lying there thinking about why she's awake, feeling the anxiety just closing in, she hears what she calls a distinct whisper of God, come talk to me.
And what's so fascinating is her internal response. She says she felt this initial rush of vulnerability, but that it was instantly followed by this profound relief.
Relief, huh?
Yeah. She said her soul recognized it not as a scolding for being worried, but as a sacred invitation to find some solace.
That shift is just profound. She went from being paralyzed,
yeah,
literally lying flat on her back, wide awake, anxious, getting nowhere, to actively turning over onto her knees to pray.
And she spent those dark mornings just talking to the divine about everything that felt too heavy to carry alone.
And the result, she said sometimes she'd fall back asleep just long enough to get an answer or a sense of direction, often in a dream. It shows that immediate concrete result of shifting from passive worry to active yielding.
That outcome confirms the value of the action. The worry wasn't managed, it was transferred. The burden that kept her physically and mentally awake was placed on someone else, allowing her mind and body to finally rest.
That real-world experience of release, it leads us right back to the central piece of wisdom in the source material. The analysis of 1 Peter 5.7.
Right.
And we really need to focus intensely on that one loaded word, cast.
Exactly. We see the word give used elsewhere in scripture, often in the context of, you know, an offering. But here, the instruction is cast. and the original language is critical.
Okay, walk us through that. Why is cast so necessary? Why not just a strong synonym for give?
Well, in Greek, the word used is eperhypto. It's this incredibly physical, powerful verb. It means to throw upon, or as the sources highlight, to throw with force.
Wait, throw with force? That sounds almost aggressive. It feels counterintuitive to the idea of a gentle surrender, which is what I think a lot of people associate with faith.
But the force implies finality. That's the key. We are not being asked to politely hand our worries over, you know, like we're placing them gently on a shelf.
Like a library book you might check out again later.
Exactly. We are invited to throw them with energy, with conviction, with finality. It's an acknowledgement that this thing is too heavy for us to hold. If you're throwing a heavy, unwanted anchor overboard, you don't just gently lower it. You push it away with all your might.
I see that. I see the psychological connection there. The force is a physical manifestation of an irreversible mental decision.
Right.
And our sources point out this huge temptation. If the verse just said, give, we might feel like we still have like a residual right to it.
We'd be tempted to hold on to a little bit of that control, wouldn't we? Keep a little magical grip on the burden, ready to snatch it back the second that anxiety creeps in again.
Oh, 5 minutes later, absolutely.
And the force is the action that prevents that snatchback. Casting requires two things. First, the decision to release the burden, saying this is too heavy for me. And second, the really crucial part, to walk away.
Walk away.
The action isn't complete until you believe and trust that the divine power can handle what we cannot. If you throw a spear, you don't run after it to try and steer it. You release it. You trust its trajectory.
The power of that action then, the throw with force, is that it shifts the responsibility completely. It demands that we consciously interrupt that worry loop and replace it with a declaration of trust, even if that trust feels like a huge gamble in the moment.
And that's where the practice comes in. The woman in Brooklyn, even after her initial breakthrough, she admitted she found herself clinging to certain fears.
Like the safety of her sons.
Exactly. That ongoing fear felt too big, too real, to truly release. She described it as a daunting leap of faith to throw that particular anxiety away. The first cast is hard, but the ongoing choice not to go pick it back up, that's the real work.
So if the act of casting is so powerful, what does it mean when we choose to keep worrying? What does that say about our broader spiritual state?
This is where the source material delivers a really significant insight. It reframes worry not just as a feeling, but as a statement.
A statement.
Yes. It describes worrying as a sign that we believe we can handle our situations better than our Heavenly Father can. And that is an incredibly pointed and powerful assessment.
That is a real aha moment. By refusing to cast the burden or by taking it back, we're basically claiming we're more competent than the divine power we're supposed to be yielding to.
We are. We're asserting that our human efforts, our obsessing, our attempts to control the uncontrollable are more effective than divine oversight.
So it's a control issue.
It's totally a control issue. The sources detail two core lacks that are shown by worrying. First, and this is the obvious one, a lack of trust. But second, and I think this is more critical, a lack of humility.
Humility, not as in self-deprecation, but...
but as in a realistic acknowledgement of our own human limitations. We resist yielding control because we overestimate our own capacity to solve the problem just by thinking about it harder.
So the implication is when we worry, we're essentially trying to play God in our own lives.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's a stressful, exhausting, and impossible role for anyone to maintain.
And the payoff for casting is so much bigger than just, you know, personal stress relief. The sources elevate the concept of peace beyond just how we feel individually. Peace, within what they call the larger story of the kingdom, isn't just the absence of personal turmoil.
What is it then?
It's described as participation in God's plan for us.
Okay, that completely changes the goal. It's not defensive coping anymore. It's offensive lineman. Mm. We're not just trying to stop feeling anxious. We're trying to align ourselves with a purpose and a victory that's already been established.
Right. So achieving peace in the middle of the storm, when the sirens are wailing and the bills are due, it requires this complete yielding to the Prince of Peace. It means aligning yourself with his triumph over all powers. And when you do that, you allow his peace to actively govern and reign in your heart.
So when you cast your worries, you're stepping out of your private failing battle and into a larger guaranteed story of triumph.
That's it, exactly.
Okay, so this brings us right to the practical application for you, the listener. How do we translate this theology and this physical act of throwing with force into daily life? The source material gives some really specific, actionable steps.
The first and most essential step is self-reflection. And it has to be specific. You can't cast a generalized worry because you can't grab it.
You have to identify it first.
You have to identify it. So the sources encourage us to ask two foundational questions. And crucially, to make that commitment concrete by writing the answers down.
Okay, question one. What am I worried or anxious about today and why? That forces you to actually name the enemy.
Right.
And question two, what action can I take now to cast my care upon God? The act of writing it down is part of the casting itself. It stops the cycle and creates a tangible thing to release.
Writing it down is like, it's the preparation for the throw. It forces you to be specific, and that prevents those vague, generalized worry loops that you get at 3 a.m.
Okay, so once the worry is named and written down, what's next?
The next step is the actual conversation, the prayer. And the sources guide this by focusing on the relationship. The key is to ask for help to understand that worrying is hurting your relationship with the divine, because it's like you're acting like you don't trust the outcome.
So you ask to be shown how to cast those cares.
To find that true sustainable peace, yes. Yeah.
And the sources provide some excellent reinforcement material for this. It's not just about one verse, it's a sustained theme. They recommend readings like Philippians 4.67, Psalm 55.22.
Matthew 6, John 14. These aren't just reading suggestions. Think of them as mental anchors.
What do you mean by that?
Well, think of those scriptures as the documentation that validates the action you just took. You throw the burden, and then you cement that decision by reading the support material. It gives you the evidence you need to believe that the burden won't just be handed back to you.
And finally, the affirmations. This is the verbal active replacement for that worry narrative you just threw away.
Right. It's a mental replacement system. You're replacing the fear with a declaration.
Like, I don't have to worry. God is in control. I'm throwing everything on it.
Exactly. Those statements are the finality that follows the force of the cast. They're what ensures you don't go and retrieve the burden.
So the personal journey we started with. That frustration of being physically paralyzed at 3 a.m., followed by the act of yielding onto her knees, that really shows that casting is not a one-time thing.
Not at all. It's not a passive prayer or a single spiritual transaction. It is a continuous, forceful, and active choice that you have to renew whenever those burdens start to creep back in, demands maintenance.
And it all comes back to the force required to release that control. If peace truly requires aligning ourselves with that divine triumph over all powers, then we have to really look hard at the specific fears we are still holding on to.
Because those are the ones we implicitly believe the divine can't handle.
Right. So the challenge for you listening this week is to identify that one fear, the one that currently feels too big or too unique or just too overwhelming to really push away and release.
What is that current lingering anxiety that still feels like a daunting leap of faith to apply the force of casting to?
Identify that fear, write it down, and then consciously apply the force of the throw, allowing yourself to walk away and step into that larger narrative of peace. Something to think about for your own deep dive this week.
Thanks for joining us.
If this overview resonates with you, download my free infographic on anxiety and finding peace through casting your cares upon Jesus. And here's my challenge for you for this week. What's that one fear you're still holding on to? What's that one thing you're just worried about and continually worried about? And it feels too big, it's too real, or it's too overwhelming for you to truly release, to give it to somebody else, because you feel you're in control and you need to hold on to it and worry about it and be anxious about it. What's that one thing? This episode hopefully helped you identify it. So go ahead and write it down and apply the force needed to walk away from that burden once and for all. Because peace isn't just about feeling better. It's about aligning yourself with a larger story of the triumph that's already been written. So are you ready to step out of your private battle and into that guaranteed victory?